Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scott coming to you live from North Carolina. And what a glorious morning it is, not only to be alive, but be alive in this season where, yes, it may seem dark, it may seem hard, but we are at a point in history where we were born for such a time as this, and a moment where we're, as we cry out to the Lord for not only this nation and the Office of the President, but for souls, and that the presence of the Lord be made known to those who may have not have been able to experience Him. It's just a great day to be reflective as we celebrate President's Day. And I want to start off in scripture of continuing along these prayer points that Chuck lays out in the Reordering Your Day book, in order to get back into the timing of the Lord so that we can fulfill not only destiny for ourselves, but for our nation and the land that we're in. And in today's verse, in Genesis 28, it's the story of Jacob as he's leaving his father's house, Isaac, and going into his own journey after retaining his inheritance. And the verse I want to focus on is verse 18. But when we go back two verses before that, Jacob, he awakes from the latter dream of seeing the Lord standing there saying, you know, I will give you this land to your descendants, a blessing as he made the promise to Abraham. And Jacob wakes up and saying in verse 16, he says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" And then in verse 18, he says, "So Jacob arose early in the morning." We're seeing this the timing thing of awakening and getting in line with the hours and the watches that the Lord has designed for us to seek Him and for Him to communicate with us. And it says, "And Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top." And then he goes on, he called the name of that place Bethel. And this is a place where ultimately he has set the pillar up, and then God will build his house from there. And the prayer point that Chuck points out here is to, in this watch, the morning watch, is to ask the Lord to open the heavens and connect heaven and earth where you are. And as we repent for our sins, as we get in line with the Lord, for going our wayward ways, as He draws us back to Him, our first love, is praying out, seeking the Lord to open those heavens, heaven and earth. And obviously the other prayer is the Lord's Prayer, something to remind ourselves that Jesus talked to the disciples about, of how to pray, teaching them how to pray, is a great reference point as well to add on top of this. So as we enter into this season, which may seem stressful at times, we want to remind ourselves that even through all of this, even as Jacob enters into the wilderness to start his own journey into the new land that the Lord has promised him, that the Lord is with us and guiding us, and we can pray for the opening of heaven and earth so that heaven can come to earth and be a representation in and through us. Okay, a little bit about today is, obviously it's President's Day, and just I want to briefly talk about this as we look at what it represents as a day. Bill Federer points out talking about the first President's Day, it was ultimately a celebration of George Washington's birthday, and then it eventually morphed into just a celebration of all presidents and an honoring of presidents and the things that they've done to establish the freedoms that we have to this day, starting with George Washington, highlighting Abraham Lincoln, and moving forward into there. And those are the two keys there, as George Washington's birthday was actually February 22nd, so tomorrow would be the anniversary of his birth. And then also Abraham Lincoln was born in February as well. So it's a great time to reflect back and remember those things that we've had the honor of being led by these gentlemen to stand up in times of, were they perfect? Absolutely not. But they stood for freedoms and made the hard choice in front of possibly losing their lives. And in Abraham Lincoln's case, standing for things that cost him his life, and George Washington's going in battle, fighting for our freedoms, knowing at the time that he could potentially have lost his life. So it's just a day to honor those who have come before us, who have paid the price, who have sacrificed life and limb in these literal cases so that we can have the freedoms that we have today. Okay. So now I want to dive into, I think, a big sigh of relief because it's the issue that's going on right now with Ukraine and Russia has come to another contentious point. If you've been following along this weekend, you've seen a lot of different things come out. And I kind of want to recap a little bit about what happened and what now is to be expected in the days ahead. And to say this is that it is all up in the air for one country, one person to say, this will happen, this is going to happen tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. We do not know. There's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda about the past. But right now, we're here in this moment, and what we need to do is continue with praying for wisdom for our leaders. But let's understand what has happened so that we can really see, okay, Lord, what are you up to? What's going on? Is this an overstepping of the enemy? And so we talked about last week how Kamala Harris was going to Munich to talk with other world leaders. And what we've known to come out of this meeting was absolutely nothing. Nothing was done. Nothing came out. Kamala Harris even contradicted herself in some statements that she made on the world stage of saying, we're going to put sanctions on. But then at the end of the day, Putin and the Kremlin have already decided to supposedly invade Ukraine. So that's a little bit what happened from the weekend. Literally nothing came from that meeting. But if you listened to our sermon yesterday, they reminded of the point in 1938 before Germany invaded Czechoslovakia. You had world leaders from France, Italy, and the UK with Neville Chamberlain going to Munich, the same spot, the same city that just had this meeting, and basically paying the sacrifice, letting Czechoslovakia be the sacrifice for Europe to prevent a total onslaught of war. Well, what happened with that is, obviously, you know, Hitler was lying to world leaders. Neville Chamberlain fell for it. Didn't understand who Putin was. I mean, Hitler was, and in this case is, do we understand who Putin is? Do we know if he's lying? Do we know if he's telling the truth? A lot's up in the air. There are obviously reports and understanding of prophetic that he wants to take back the old Soviet Union blocs countries. So there's a possibility, maybe, maybe not. So nothing came from the Munich meetings, unlike, well, really what happened in 1938 as well in Munich, in regards to Czechoslovakia. And we're now seeing, and this is important, so what's happened over the weekend is that there are reported from Ukrainian sources that Russian-backed rebels have launched rockets and causing damages, caused a loss of life, injuries in the Donbas region, from my understanding, the northeast part of the country. And what's happening now is there are Ukrainians, or more so Russians who have Russian ties, would prefer Russia to be involved, have now fled. Russia is saying that, sorry, let me pull back this up to the top. Russia is saying that, well, these are troops from Ukraine coming in to Russia. And now the U.S., to kind of flip back and forth, is saying, well, Russia has given them its military the orders to proceed with an invasion, supposedly, even though it hasn't happened that I understand of at the time recording of this podcast. And so we're seeing a lot of back and forth. Now I want to take a step back a little bit, because through the weekend, supposedly the White House has now said there have been preliminary agreements to a conversation between Putin and Biden. Now, to take a step back, first, before that happens, Secretary of State Blinken came out and said this on CNN. I'm trying to pull it up and blow it up. Let me make sure it works first. That in order for Biden and Putin to have that conversation, supposedly he wants to have a conversation with another diplomat. So I want to play this clip. Sorry, it's taking a while to load up. So I'm going to blow this up. So I'm going to play this.
Before I let you go, you mentioned that you did accept a meeting with the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. That's going to happen this coming week. Given that President Biden says President Putin has decided to invade, is the meeting for sure going to happen, number one? And do you have kind of a Hail Mary offer for Russia to avoid war?
Well, I reached out to Foreign Minister Lavrov about a week ago suggesting we meet in Europe next week. And he came back and said yes. I went back and said, okay, the meeting's on, provided Russia doesn't invade Ukraine in the interim. So it all depends on what Russia does in the coming days. If it doesn't invade, I'll be there. I hope he'll be there too. And I will do everything I can to see if we can advance a diplomatic resolution to this crisis created by Russia and its aggression against against Ukraine. We've put on the table a number of ideas that we can pursue that would strengthen security for Russia, for the United States, for Europe, if we engage in them on a reciprocal basis. So there are things that we're prepared to do if Russia is also prepared to take steps. That's the conversation I welcome having with Foreign Minister Lavrov, but depends entirely on whether Russia invades or not.
Again, so they made the meeting with Lavrov and Blinken a contingency upon if Russia does not invade Ukraine. So this is where we're at. So and that meeting is set for Thursday. So in order for that to be prevented, or at least that meeting to happen, there has to be a lack of invasion of Russia into Ukraine. Now, you see Biden and the U.S. stoking these fears and all of that. I want to read a paragraph from a Wall Street Journal article that I think points out basic fact that we've talked about, but I think it's now that it's coming out, can really help us understand a little bit about what is happening here, because Russia has its reasons for being involved in and around Europe, and Ukraine especially. But what we're seeing here and this is not being talked about, especially from the U.S. side, is that the reason Russia is really, not only do they want to gain back control of the former Soviet Union countries, but they've made these demands. And I'm going to highlight this, and I'm going to blow this up a little bit here, because this is important, and I think this is getting lost in all of this. Where did it go? Okay. It says, this is quoting from the Wall Street Journal report about the whole issue with Russia and Ukraine from the weekend, is that Moscow demands, in part of having its troops along the border and having part of its troops in Belarus, which borders Ukraine, and Moscow demands that Kiev abandon its aspirations to join NATO and give Russian proxies a major say in Ukrainian's future. So they want to have their hand involved in everything. Now, this is of no surprise of what's happening. We're seeing it. We partially understand a little bit about this from what the Kremlin wants. But know this is that when asked from CNN itself, the Russian ambassador to the United States, Anthony Antonov, talked about how and these are some good questions partially from CNN in asking, you know, she gets right to the point. Has Ukraine decided to invade Russia? He came out publicly yesterday and said, no, we do not. We're having joint operations with Russia, with Belarus, who he calls Belarusia, which was its former name, saying that we have troops, just as the United States has troops around the world. Russia has troops in other countries, and this is just what happens to be one of the few. Very convenient for them at this time. He says, you know, we don't tell the United States what to do with their troops as far as if they wanted to deploy them to Florida or San Francisco. Interesting point of view. Not saying it's right or wrong. Just saying this is where things are at. And talks about how he just wants to come to the table, meet, and talk about what's happening in these regions where rockets are going off. And the Ukrainians are saying they're coming from Russian-backed forces. So we're seeing this back and forth. On the ground, you're seeing disputes happening in around the Dundas region, Northeast region, people leaving, people being anxious, some people stepping up to be part of the reserve system in Ukraine, Ukrainian's president actually not be fearful and show, because I think he really is standing up for the freedom of his country. And the reason this is why we need to continue to pray for our leaders is because we've made an agreement with them to back them and support them. And so has Russia. And they're looking like they're going to go back on their word. And what now is coming out is this morning, Jake Sullivan came out and said, which is very alarming. This is possibly not the right move to make, of saying that Russia could invade Ukraine within hours. Now, this looks bad if it doesn't happen on Sullivan, as he said before. Oh, it's going to happen Wednesday. Oh, no, now it's going to happen Sunday. And oh, no, now it's going to happen on Monday within hours. If it, the best play for Russia is to just sit on their hands and not do anything. And one thing also to remember is that because of the bombings that are going on in the Donbas region of Ukraine, Russia is now extending the war games that it had with Belarus from over the weekend to an unidentified time of saying we're just going to continue to stay here because of the tensions that are rising here. So we're seeing everything rise up. So we want to pray for the Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia and Ukraine, because you have the U.S. military doing a host of other things, leaders focusing on things that they're not. Obviously, there are some historical problems with Biden family relationship with Ukraine and the leaders there, and pray for those leaders and the people of Ukraine to stand up for their sovereignty, for God's will, for their nation, as we pray for ours as well. And the last thing on this issue, I think it's important to look at all spectrums of this is, so there's a report out of Reuters that talks about how China would possibly back Russia diplomatically if they were to move into Ukraine. Now, this is a complete opinion piece saying that China would, if, because this is the point, is so supposedly the U.S. has put the line, red line down of if Russia invades Ukraine, then the U.S. will then put sanctions on. Now, Ukraine is saying, why are you waiting till loss of life to happen to put sanctions on? Why don't you do it now to prevent that from happening? Hopefully they back off. And that's what Trump did. It worked. It made them back off. And then those are removed, et cetera. So here's where we're at. And now there's a thought. I'm not saying this will or will not happen. It's just an opinion piece that is out there, but it's something to take into consideration when praying and understanding the whole scenario. And there's holes in this because of who's involved. And so the thought is, the writer from Reuters points out, is that if Russia invades, then China will help with gathering resources if the West puts on sanctions on Russia. Well, the issue at play here is, for Russia, is does China actually have the resources to be able to do such a thing? Are they at a point to be sustainable to provide the simple, not only resources for the country, but for their military, because they would need it going in the days ahead? And the Wall Street Journal report that I read earlier, it goes on to say that, and so does this article, is that it may not be sustainable for Russia to continue a war in the long term, because they don't have the resources necessary to be able to do it, to long term go to war, because you don't know how long war will take. You don't know the cost of life that it'll take, resources. You never know once you get involved in that. And so you can't predict those things. And so it's up in the air. If Russia goes to war, do they have the natural resources? But if sanctions are put on them, does China have the resources to be able to back them? So there's a whole host of scenarios going on here. And we obviously want to pray for the sovereignty of Ukraine to stand up and to honor our agreement with Ukraine, as well as from UK and Northern Ireland and the other European countries as well, who are involved with NATO, who talked about supporting them. So that's that issue. I know I went deep there. It's a lot happened over the weekend. So that's where we're at with that issue going forward. We'll talk a little bit more about it today on our noon prayer and some other issues as well. But I want to look forward to the coming week as what's going to happen as today's President's Day. So Washington, D.C. and Congress and the Senate are pretty much going to be doing nothing today. But what we have coming forward, we've talked about this before, is that Congress is going to try to race to put a full budget in, not just a continuing resolution. They want to put some things in, and the debate goes around social welfare spending to defense spending. There's arguments about where money should be spent here and there. And now, the reason to continue to stay focused on this and pray about this is Biden wants to throw a kink in and try to put more COVID spending in, $30 million worth, or $30 billion, I can't remember exactly the number. He wants to throw into the budget now at the last term. And Senator Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, Patrick Leahy, talks about how he says, no, we're not going to, because we've already went through high water to get to this point. So we're not going to throw another kink in the armor and in the argument to try to get to a point where they feel like, and they're not discussing publicly what is in the budget proposal, but they feel like they're at a point of agreement to where they can get something passed to hopefully fund the government until the end of October. So we want to pray for the senators to have wisdom and revelation when voting and negotiating on this deal, because this could affect us not only now, but in the long term as well. They need wisdom ultimately to balance the budget, which it looks like they're not going to, but pray an awakening for those who are involved in this to get involved and balance the budget as well, which leads into a case involving the Supreme Court and the Biden administration that is going before the Supreme Court, involving the Remain in Mexico policy. Biden removed it illegally, supposedly. Several judges have found, judges have told them to put the Remain in Mexico policy, which forces people trying to cross the border legally to remain in Mexico so that their asylums can be processed, and that they don't just infiltrate into our country, because they don't actually come back for the court date that is given to them. And then you never find them. They're released in the country and you never know what to do with them. So it's going for the Supreme Court to decide what the constitutionality of this is, of whether the Biden administration can no longer enforce it, or do they need to go back and enforce it because they, number one, illegally pulled it, but then also moving forward, what would be the proper procedures for the border policies moving forward, et cetera. So this would be a huge case. And then we also want to remember the cases that we've been praying for last week of the case going before the Supreme Court on the jab mandate for federal employees, the now case for out of Texas of removing the mask mandates on transportation from TSA, planes, trains, and buses, so that people can have the freedom to be able to make their choice. And then this case, the Biden v. Texas case, that will be heard in April. And we'll most likely come up with a ruling June, July with the rest of their rulings. We could also pray for the pro-life case going before the Supreme Court as well from Mississippi. So there's a lot happening coming up. And then lastly, segueing into the Supreme Court, Biden is, as we near close to the end of February, he's made that his timeline for selecting a Supreme Court justice. It is, the AP article points here that there, obviously he's going with the idea of an African-American female, black female, to be the Supreme Court justice, which a lot of debate around that. And you are narrowing your field. And he's narrowed it down to three judges that even the AP and a lot of other sources think is realistically. And this article makes the case for the last judge, U.S. District Court Judge J. Michelle Childs out of South Carolina. So there's going to be a big push here in the coming days. We just pray he makes the proper choice in this, even though he is narrowing his choice down. But then even the senators who are going to vote to approve the nominee, whether they need to have wisdom and hopefully the Biden team here, because he's not really involved in this. There are others who are involved because of obvious reasons with Biden's mental capacity. And so he's made this choice. This is who he's going with. Whether we agree with it or not, it's the reality, but there is still the possibility that the Senate, like they did with Merrick Garland, could stand up. Now, will it last for 3 years, 2 years? Maybe, maybe not. There have been some Republicans who agree, you know, we just need to accept who he puts forward. So we'll see. So that's what's happening coming this week with the Ukraine issue, with Congress and the budget issue, and then with the Supreme Court, some cases that are coming up, and then the possibility of a nominee to replace Justice Breyer in the coming weeks. And then she'll have to sit down before the Judicial Committee to see what her rulings and her principles are that she rules by. As we all intents and purposes know that it will be a female. So blessings to each and every one of you for joining in on this Monday. I know it's a lot to cover from the weekend, but this week's a pivotal week to continue to stand not only for this nation, but for the commitments and covenants that this nation has made with nations like Ukraine. Don't forget, we'll be back today at noon for our noon prayer. And for those who listen via podcast, where it will be on Podbean, this podcast will Apple, Spotify, and Google Play. So if you know people who want to join in, pray for the office of the president in this nation so that we can reach the destiny of spreading the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. Please go ahead and share so we can help get the word out, spread it, get more people involved, build the army of those praying and joining in for God's destiny over this nation. Blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.